this coming Saturday, men's fellowship breakfast at 8 o'clock. Just like to remind you guys, mark that on your calendar, and that'll be great. Today is the first day of the year. I don't have to tell you that. And also the first Sunday of the year. And you could not be in a better place to start the year, but to be here right now, right here, to worship God in spirit and in truth. As we look back over the past 12 months, maybe longer than that, it could be another year or 2 years. And as you look, you're seeing some stuff you're carrying, for a lack of a better term, you're still carrying some baggage that you need to leave behind. And I hope and trust today that as we go through this teaching, that you will be able to see what those are and what you could do with them. People are still carrying, harboring hurts and ill feelings, and for some painful experiences from the past. And part of the reason for that is that those things were never dealt with. You didn't think that you had to tell anybody or talk to anybody, a big brother, big sister, about some of those things and get some help and just kind of leave them behind you and never to remember them anymore. All it takes for someone to say the wrong thing, either at a family gathering or some kind of meeting, and there is a big flare-up, all because of some of the underlining issues that they are either in their lives or your life. And last week, I was able to attend a class on conflict resolution. Super, super good information. I was enlightening, I was challenged, some of the things I was familiar with, but some of the things were very new to me. And I'm hoping that, I know the pastor who did the class, and I'm hoping that down the road this year, we can have a class and he'll be willing to come and teach us and talk to us about conflict resolution. A very, very important. This past year has been a very troublesome year for some of us. For some, most difficult, yet for others, challenging in more than one ways. And either way, we have all been affected in one way, shape, or form. Some in more painful ways than others, and we ask why. We walk in the supermarket and coming to the cashier, and the very same thing that you had some time ago, the same thing you had in your cart, is almost double the price that you paid for them not very long ago. We think about the cost of living overall and what takes place. The gasoline, transportation, medical care, goods and services, recreation and education. And we ask ourselves, how is the average American family survive? Everyone had to make adjustment, whether we like it or not. Not to mention the pandemic and how all that has altered our lives in one way, shape, or form or another. Some people, if not the majority of people, have difficulty with the past, much less than leaving the past behind. They want to move on. They want to take charge of their life. But somehow the past seems to surface itself either by situation or circumstances or even our loved ones. And sometimes that hurts the most. Worse yet, the enemy, Satan, seems to throw these things in our faces and tell us that we will never succeed, we will always be a failure, it's not going to work. But folks, I want to remind you today, and for you to remind Satan, that Jesus Christ paid the price, and all of this is already under the blood, and we need to claim that victory in the name of Jesus. Because as far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgression from us, never to remember them anymore. We need to trust God and believe that the job is already done, and to leave those things behind. The Apostle Paul was never one to be taken back or to be discouraged with the things that he has been through in life. But he was always determined that he was going to be a conqueror. He was not going to be a victim. But he's going to succeed. I just want to share some passage of scripture. And this is not on the PowerPoint. But I would like to share this with you. And to give you an idea where he has been. And what has happened to him in all of this. And why he's talking the way that he's talking. But if you have your Bibles, it will be 2 Corinthians chapter 11. Starting from verse 22. Let's start from maybe my version. It might be a little bit different from yours. So please bear with me. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequent, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. Why didn't they say 39? That's what it is. 3 times I was beaten with rods, and once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, and dangers from bandits, and danger from my own countrymen. In danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city. In danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled, and have often been without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and have gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Beside everything else, I face daily the pleasure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn? If I most boast, I will boast of the things that show my weakness. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is to be praised forever, knows that I am not lying. In Damascus, the governor under King Aretas had the city of Damascus guarded to arrest me. But I was lowered in a basket from a window in the wall and slipped through the hands. That's the Apostle Paul that is writing to us today. And he is telling us in another portion of scripture that we're going to look at, which we are going to focus on today, and that is Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12 to 16. And this is going to be in the PowerPoint. Let me make sure that I'm in the right chapter here. Not that I have already obtained all this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Of course, he's talking about his conversion. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting What is behind? That is a key word for us today. Forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Jesus Christ. All of us who are mature should take such a view of things, and if on some point you think differently, that too God will make it clear to you. Only let us live up to what we have already attained. And so we are focusing today and leaving the past behind and moving forward. And first of all, we ask, well, how did Paul do this with all that he has been through? And first of all, Paul says, you know what? We need to stay focused on our goal. We need to stay focused on our goal. In verse 12, it says, not that I have already obtained, I'm not there yet, all this, and he already been made perfect, but I pressed on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Christ took hold of the Apostle Paul that day on the Damascus Road. And he was a changed person. His life was turned around, and he's saying that I want to stay focused on my goal. I want to know this guy better. I was on my way to do business, and his business was to break up churches, put Christians in jail and in prison. That was his business. But God, through Jesus Christ, stopped him. And he's saying that, you know what? I want to make that my goal. I want to know this guy better, to know Jesus Christ. Paul says that this is my goal. And my prayer and trust is that this is our goal as well, that we will strive to know Jesus Christ better. What will your answer be if you were to ask, how well do I know Jesus Christ? And if you just ponder on that for a minute or so, but how well do I know him? Christ knows us very well, but do we know him well enough and all that we need to know of him? Am I satisfied with everything? Or maybe, are we afraid to get even closer to him or know him any better for fear of what he may ask of us? I want to challenge you today that Jesus Christ will never ask you to do something that he knows that you are not capable of doing. So let's strive to know him better. Let's strive to be closer. So what does it mean? What does it mean to know this Christ? It means to have a clear perception or understanding of him, to be sure or well informed of who Jesus Christ is, to be aware, to perceive, to know that he is loved, to have a firm mental grasp of Jesus Christ, to be acquainted or to be familiar with. I want to know this guy. The first principle that led Paul to greatness was concentration. He concentrated his everything on Jesus Christ. The Living Bible makes this idea more vivid in verse 13. He says, I am bringing all my energies to bear on one thing. And what is that one thing? To know Jesus Christ better, to be closer drawn to him. I want to know him better. And then how Paul, he got through with all of this and how he can challenge us to move on with our lives. He says, to be like Christ. I want to be like Christ. I want to know him, but also I want to be like Christ. I want to be like Mike. You remember that? Mike, I want to be like Mike. You know, but let's stop for a minute. And when people say that, or when that saying came along, that I want to be like Mike, I want to move like him, I want to dance like him, I want to shoot the basket like him, I want to jump like him, I want to get airborne like him. And so when we say that, I want to be like Christ, this means that we are going to be in agreement to put into practice all that Christ stands for. To put into practice. When we know Him, we want to be like Him. I want to emulate Christ. I want to emulate His characteristics. His love, His grace, His mercy, His compassion, His forgiveness, His understanding, insight, and judgment. His patience, His tolerance, His concern. Think of how all those things have been applied in your life in the past. When we think of Jesus Christ, I want to emulate Christ, don't you? We want Christ to be seen in our lives every single day. And then the Apostle Paul says that I want to be perfect. God wants us to strive for perfection. And folks, this is not absolute perfection. We cannot be just like Christ, the God-man, or like God. But we can be perfect in our walk and in our talk with God. We can be perfect as we grow in Christ. Every day, when we do our study or devotion or a church and we learn something new, we can be perfect if we apply those things to our lives and we walk in them. That's what he meant, that he wants to be perfect. I want to conquer everything that comes to me. Whatever Christ brings to my mind and to enlighten my heart, I want to be perfect. We need to stay focused on our goal. You remember Peter in the boat, and there was a storm, and they saw this figure draped in white coming, and they thought it was a spirit or something evil or of a negative nature. And when he got closer to the boat and they recognized that it was Jesus, Peter, as he was, he says, Can I come with you? Can I come and join you? And Jesus Christ, yes, come on. And all this time he was focusing on Jesus. And from the moment he took his focus off of Jesus and looking at the waves and looking at the threat and that maybe he might die, he started to sink. And Jesus reached out and he brought him back. Sometimes we can get caught up with the winds and the waves of negativity, and we start to doubt. Stay focused on Jesus Christ. And then he said, I want you to forget the past. I want you to forget the past. In verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead. Folks, we are humans and we are special beings, in that God has created us with this unique, incredible ability to remember things. And we can go back years and years and we can remember stuff. But when we do remember them, because if we have committed and we have laid those things on the altar, when we do remember them, we don't remember them with the pain and the agony when it first came into our lives. Because Jesus Christ has taken hold of us and we're able to put that behind. He said that we need to forget our resentments. For whatever reason, some people may be holding resentments against someone or some people or a family. And all that does, it creates bitterness and anger and other problems. Not to mention that it can cripple our lifestyle when we do not take hold or leave those things behind. It was said of Abraham Lincoln, his heart was as great as the world, but there was no room in it for the memory of a wrong. But you say, Pastor Zeph, you don't know what those people did to me. You don't know what they did to my family. You don't know what they did to my little girl. No, I don't know. And my heart breaks all for all the hurts that are out there. But it also breaks for the hurt that people do to themselves when they hold on and nurture the hurts of the past. We need to trust God. We need to forget. We need to move on from those grievances that we have against someone. Trust God that He would watch over us. We need to forget our failures. We have all failed. We have all come short. And sometimes we allow those failures to hold us back, to keep us. No one likes to fail. But it's unfortunate that some people seek to escape failure by not even trying, and that guarantees failure in itself. Maybe we need to adopt the philosophy of George Bernard Shaw when he said, "When I was a young man, I observed that 9 out of 10 things I did were failures. So I didn't want to fail, so I did 10 times more work." Let's trust God that we are not going to allow the past to keep us back in any way. And I don't know what if there is anything in your life that you are dealing with. And these are just some challenges from the Apostle Paul. He said we need to forget our victories and our achievements. Is there anything wrong to rejoice and to be happy what God has allowed us to have? He permitted us to have. And what He is saying is that I don't want you to gloat over your success and achievement, thinking that it was by your strength and your power that you got it. But it was through Him. I think of the New Testament church when the day of Pentecost, when over 3,000 souls were added to the church. That alone in itself can tell the people, hey, we can sit back and relax. You know, one message brought 3,000 people. But no, the Bible says that every day they were out in the temple place, in the marketplace, in the corners, wherever they were there sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did not allow their victories and achievement to keep them back. But they went out and they were able to do that for the honor and for the glory of God. We need to forget our worries. Anybody worrying in this congregation? Yeah, we all worry. Like someone says, worry is like a rocking chair. It gives you something to do, but it gets you nowhere. Yes. Rocking chair never move, but we worry. And the Apostle Paul is saying that, hey, let's leave those worries behind. Someone says that he's convinced that 2/3 of those who suffer mental illness are worrying about something over which they have no control. Let's leave it. Let's trust God for it. That the worries, we will leave it in the hands of Jesus Christ. What did he say in his word? What does the word say? He says, cast all your cares upon me because I care for you. And that in itself should be comforting to us, because he's saying, hey, don't worry about it. Give it to me. Let me worry about it. Jesus Christ would say. Press toward the goal. What was the goal of the Apostle Paul? The goal was, I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus Christ. And folks, in verse 13 and 14, he says, and straining towards what is ahead. What is ahead? Jesus, heaven. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward. And that is our goal as well, that we want to press on. We want to stay focused. We want to be on the right track so that we can see Jesus Christ in the long run. Christ's disciples, they had the privilege of walking and talking with Jesus, rubbing shoulders with him, sitting at his feet, hear him teach. We didn't have that opportunity, but our day is coming. Our day is coming because we are going to see Jesus. That's the goal, that we're going to see him. And what are some of the things we need to do? We need to read our Bible. We need to pray. I can't stress enough the importance of spending time with God's word. Jesus took time to be alone with his Father. Many times we read in the gospel that he would be up in the morning early. And where did he go? On the mountainside, talking to his Father. We need to take time. And I don't know what time of the day of some people are working and what is most convenient for you, but we need to take time off to be with God. Jesus took time. Set a place. The saying is, a family that prays together stays together. Attend church regularly. If it all be possible, this is where we need to be, like we are here today. This is very important. God's word says that we should not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. What does that do for us when we do that? Church attendance first and foremost honors God. When we should set aside that time of worship. Church attendance provides an opportunity for learning and for growth. Church attendance provides support and encouragement. Regular church attendance opens the door for excitement and enthusiasm. You know, so many times in our services after church, we will find people in small groups, two or three, four, and talking and laughing and whatever. And some as well would be at some corner praying for somebody. And that's what happens when we get together as God people. It builds us up. It builds the congregation up. Be a faithful steward. Be a faithful steward, the Apostle Paul is trying to say to us. All that we have is loaned to us by God. And he wants us to be a good steward. Be a good steward of your time. Whatever time you have. Set aside time for God to do whatever he would have you to do. Use your talents. Maybe some people are accountant or carpenter, mason. Some people like to cook, to bake, whatever your talent is. Make it known to the congregation so that people can use that talent. The talent can be used to build them up. I remember at one time there was a need that came up. In one of the families' home, they wanted something done. And so, because we were aware of it, I talked to some of the guys, and two of us went and we took care of the problem because they had the talent to do that. So let's do that. Let's use our talents, whatever our talent is. Let's use it for the honor and for the glory of God. Be a good steward of your body. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and God, Holy Spirit, dwells within you? I was talking to Mike this morning, and he has seen in the papers all week, all this week, and even today, that they're telling people to be active, to be healthy. Let's try to take care of the bodies that God has given us. This is a new year, and I need to do that for myself. Most of you know me, and I love sweets. I have a sweet tooth, like maybe some of you, but I don't have a sweet tooth. I have sweet teeth. So that tells you how much. My doctor was not very happy with me this week, because my A1C was 9.9. And, well, not to say that I, at one time, jokingly, I said I thought the higher the number, the better it is. starting today is that I need to get my A1, my sugar level, down. And I need to take care of my body. God wants us to be faithful in our tithes and in our offering. God has blessed us. He has given us what we have. Let's honor Him with what He has given us. Let's trust Him that He would open the windows of heaven and pour us out a blessing, that there would not be room enough to receive it. Give priority to God's kingdom. We are all busy people. Some of you go in every which direction: job, children, school, extracurricular activities, and so on and so forth. And if we are not careful, God is lost in the equation. He's left out. Ask God to use you this year to lead you, at least, to use you to lead you to touch the hearts and lives of one family. If God used you to touch one person or one family, can you imagine what will happen with this congregation here right now? And God wants to use you. Make it a priority that, you know what, I want to be used by God to do something for His kingdom. But when all of this is, I do want to leave all the past behind. Let me close with this one story. As you know, Stephen was the first Christian martyr. And he was stoned to death. Paul was holding on to the coats of the men. They were putting the coats on his arm. And why were they doing that? They're getting ready to throw stones. And as you know, in those days, you see the coats and everything else. They didn't want anything to hold them back in their accuracy or their strength as they would throw the stone. So they took their coats off and they put it on the arm of Paul, and they stoned Stephen to death. And Paul is saying that, I'm leaving everything behind me. And can you imagine in his mind on that day when he remembered that? And he had to get over that. He had to trust God that God would forgive him. And God did, because God used him from there on. God wants to give us all victories over whatever has happened to us. And remember that your attitude makes all the difference in the world in whatever comes to you. If you look at it in a negative way, it will affect you in a negative way. But if you look at it in a positive way, it will affect you in a positive way. What was meant to be negative and bad, God can turn that in to be something good. As we close this morning, and And you were thinking about the message and the word this morning. And I don't know what's taken place or what's happening with you. And that's going to be between you and God. But I want us to take a moment to pray. And while we do this, if God's through His Holy Spirit is bringing something to you that you have been holding on to, take this moment and pray and ask Him to help you to put that in the past, even to forgive you if that's the case. But you want total freedom, freedom in Christ. As we start this new year, we want to just start it with a clean slate. We want to know that in our hearts, in our minds, there's nothing that's going to hold us back. Our Heavenly Father, we come before You with praise and adoration. We come before You because You are deserving of all the praise, of all the honor, and all the glory. And we thank You that You have brought us through this past year. And now we are here worshiping You, bringing honor and glory to You, lifting Your name up the first day, first Sunday of the year. We thank You that we are here to do that. I pray that You would hear the heart's cry of our church family today, everyone that's here. And Lord, whatever they are bringing to You, I pray in the name of Jesus that You would remove that, whatever it is, and replace it with something that will bring us greater joy and satisfaction. Thank You for victory today. We give You praise and honor. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As we share at the Lord's table this morning, we're going to have communion.